You are listening to the Mindful Marketing Show podcast, episode 30.
Welcome to the Mindful Marketing Show with Kimberly Maska. You are about to be empowered as we teach you the best marketing strategies used by today's spiritual entrepreneurs. Get ready to share your message and inspire people worldwide.
Hello, I am Kimberly Maska, your Mindful Marketer, and I would like to welcome you to the relaunch of the Mindful Marketing Show, the podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs who are ready to change the world with their gift and have a business that reflects their authentic self. To celebrate the relaunch, I have a free gift for you. It is the Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business Guide. In it, you will find all of the tools you need to, well, jumpstart your spiritual business and create an abundance of time, money, and freedom. Don't wait to share your gift with the world. Get your copy of Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business today at mindfulmarketingshow.com. Now, before we jump in, this episode is brought to you by Kickstart Cart, my shopping cart of choice for myself and my clients. It has everything you need to create the business of your dreams with passive income, or as I like to call it, making money while you meditate. Picking the right shopping cart for your business is a big deal, and it can be very confusing. So what I have done is created a free workshop for you to help you through the decision-making process. You can find this free shopping cart workshop at mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. That is mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. Now let's listen to this episode. Enjoy. Hello and welcome. I am Kimberly Maska, your host of Mindful Marketing, the podcast where today's mind, body, spirit thought leaders discuss the latest strategies to build your business and take the icky out of marketing. Joining us today is Dana Malstaff. Dana is a consultant, writer, speaker, mindful communication coach, and the founder of Perspective Cubed. Dana has spent most of her career consulting with organizations in various industries nationwide to establish programs, tools, and resources that work to create a culture of wellness and improve the health of their employees. Dana saw that miscommunication was a barrier that kept people from reaching their goals, so she created Perspective Cubed. And welcome, Dana, to Mindful Marketing. How are you today?
I am well. Thanks for having me.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I was looking at your Perspective Cubed, and I love that you're into mindful communication. As we all know, this is a mindful marketing podcast. And so what is your personal story, your journey to down to creating Perspective Cubed and being involved in mindful communication?
Sure. And you know, I didn't know that this is where I would end up. So it's really interesting that I found myself here now. I originally, throughout my career, I built health improvement programs. So I would build diabetes management, tobacco cessation, walking program programs throughout the nation. And I ended up in Columbus, Ohio with my husband, and I was the director of health improvement for a patient advocacy company. And we were tasked with going and doing these focus groups at these different hospital systems and city municipalities, and really getting an understanding of how their diabetes management programs were working and how we were going to make them better. And I was sitting with these amazing people who wanted to get better and they wanted to be healthy and they just didn't have the right support system. And even more than that, they didn't know how to communicate what they needed. They didn't feel like they could get the support they needed. And even when they knew that they were with somebody that loved them, didn't know how to help them. And so I saw this huge gap, this huge communication gap. And as I delved more into this, I realized that part of this gap also dealt with the fact that we had so many assumptions that we brought into our daily lives that it kept us from seeing how valuable those around us and the interactions that we have on a daily basis really are. And it kept us from seizing opportunities, getting the support we needed, creating thriving relationships, getting the success we want, ultimately getting what we wanted out of life. And so I was working 15 hours a day, and I was at this point where I wanted to start a family, and I knew that I was moving too fast. And so it seemed like this really opportune time to take a step back. And I decided to start my own coaching and consulting company and really delve into this idea of how can we take mindfulness about being in the present, about taking a breath and taking a step back for one moment and entering into each encounter, each relationship, each communication, each interaction that we have, and really see it for the value that it has. See how everything that we do has something that we can take away from it, whether it's something we want to do, somebody we want to connect with, or some idea or insight that we get, all the way to things that we know we don't want to do or don't want to be, or people that we realize we want to move ourselves away from. All of those insights come from being mindful, being present, allowing ourselves to push our assumptions and our generalizations and judgments past and away from us, and really be open to what the moment can bring us. And in there becomes this magical opportunity for amazing communication, where miscommunication falls away and we are able to really interact with people in a genuinely connecting way. And from that is born empathy and compassion and understanding that really helps our relationships thrive. And I didn't know that this is where my business would take me, but the more and more I've dealt with clients and amazing women, especially because that's my sort of niche, is what I call tomorrow's matriarchs, which are really women that want to manage it all. And it's so overwhelming, and they want to understand how, and it's how do you sort of seamlessly create these authentically amazing connections and relationships in your life that also help you get what you want to get out of life and be able to be this positive force. I didn't know that this is where it would take me, but it's really been an amazing journey so far. And every time I, you know, talk about this journey, it's amazing because it has changed my life and the way I lead my life and how much mindfulness and calm I've been able to get, and how, and really how it draws people to you. And I'm amazed every day of how powerful it can be.
I can hear your passion behind it all too, which is so lovely.
Thanks. And it's hard not to get excited.
And it is such a part. I mean, we communicate every day, but we don't. Right? It's like, Absolutely. It's such fake communication or superficial. Fake may not be the right word, but it's a very superficial communication. And we forget to really connect with the people that are around us. And this is so important, what you're doing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm thoroughly amazed. And I have done this too. I am the type of person that goes and creates. I'm a creator. You know, I come from an artistic family. I've got my dad, you know, restores vintage cars. My brother's a sculptor. My mother's an illustrator. My dad's a writer. Everybody's creative. And I was born from this world where you create things. I love to see a product of what I do. It's probably why I love to cook. And so that has sort of been part of my life, where I've valued myself, seen how I'm valuable by how much I can create. And I realized in my life that I was getting to the point that I wanted to get, but I was leaving everybody behind because I was not allowing myself to stop, pull everybody in, and allow them to go on the journey with me. Because I would go, just like many of us do, we go up to somebody and we say, okay, well, you know, you are this part of my life, and so you hold this particular value, or you don't hold any value. I'm not going to really care about what you say because I don't think it's going to be important or valuable. And we miss so many wonderful things, all the way down to, you know, the barista that's giving you coffee, to the person behind the line in you, all the way to your manager, your mentor, your friend, you know, your spouse, your children. It's like every moment has something that you can take away from it, even if it's subconscious. And when we open ourselves to that, it's, you know, you almost want to take this breath and go, ah, oh, wow, you know, now people are sort of lifting me up, and I'm lifting other people up, and it becomes this amazing part of your life. And it doesn't happen unless we are open to it. So, you know, you're absolutely right about that communication aspect, is that it's not just that we are fake or inauthentic. It's that we, you know, they say we know over 40,000 words have in our lexicon, and we only use or choose to use about 800 a day. It's we have this amazing breadth of communication ability within our words and our tone and our body language. And we forget that we have it. And sometimes we forget how powerful it can be and what it does. And so subconsciously we're giving messages out to people we don't even realize or don't even mean to. And when we step back and learn how to really understand and manage all of that power and ability we have within us in terms of communication and the words we use and the tone and the body language, we really understand how amazingly positive we can be in the way that we use those tools.
Absolutely. I can't believe we only use 800 words. That's a crazy fact, but I'm sure it's so true. I'm going to go whip out a word of a day dictionary for myself.
I know. It's funny because my husband jokes, but I'll get into a rut. I'll say a word. Like, there was a good period of time where fantastic was my favorite word. And I would say everything is fantastic. But it starts to lose its meaning. It's like any jargon that is so powerful in the beginning, which is why everybody uses it. And then it gets so overused that it ceases to mean anything. And so I would say, oh, that works fantastic. Or you look fantastic. And he would keep telling me, you know, he'd start to, we do this thing with each other where we want to make sure we, you know, are growing continually. And he would say, yep, fantastic, inappropriately used. And so I would stop using it. And then now we joke because I'll say fantastic and I'll end it with appropriately used. And he's like, yes, that's a nice one. But every, you know, I get into a rut every so often of a word that I just start using and using and using. And then, you know, somebody from the outside has to sort of nudge me and remind me that by overusing words, we sort of automate them in our mind and it becomes autopilot. And then the meaning of those words not only are lost on ourselves, but they're lost in authenticity to the people that we use them on. And therefore, when we're going to say, wow, you did a really great job, or you look really great, and we're using the same words over and over again, it doesn't carry the same weight as if we really consciously and mindfully think about the words we use and how we communicate that individually and uniquely to each person that we're with, how much more power that can really give in terms of creating great connections and really helping that ripple effect of changing people's lives and how they see the world and how they go about their day and their life.
Absolutely. So how do you then, since this is your focus is the mindful communication. So I really want to talk about using this mindfulness as we market ourselves, because you have a business, you've created a business, and you have to market yourself. So how are you using this mindfulness? Because I know I'm very conscious of it, and I have a book coming out at the end of September that will address a lot of this. So what's your take on this?
Well, I think the biggest thing is listening. I mean, you know, the whole, in any communication, listening is going to be the biggest thing. And when you're mindful, it's really that clearing your mind so that you can be open. And, you know, the analogy that when you are full of your assumptions, you are full and there is no room for anything. So when you push those away, you become empty and are open to filling yourself up with information from other people. And so really I use mindfulness in the practice that everything has value for me. So from, you know, listening on social media, you know, I'm very active on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, Pinterest. Those are the main ones that I'm on. I'm continually not just looking at the feedback I'm getting, but who are the people in my field? Who are my, you know, what are they saying? What are they doing? What's working for them? The, you know, my ideal client, what are their needs? How am I really answering their needs? And where are they? And being mindful of that. But also out in the world, when I'm listening to the radio, when I'm observing, you know, how I'm living my life, or observing other people and how they're living their life, all of that gives me fuel and gives me content and gives me ideas to be able to service my ideal client better and meet their needs better. And the more I'm doing that, and the more I'm visibly showing that I'm doing that by really creating content continually. I mean, my biggest marketing tool is that I'm creating things for people that they need. I'm recently just came out, actually this, the beginning of this week, with what is called the Relationships Checklist Challenge. And it's based off of a bunch of workshops that I've done I'm the co-president of the Stilettos on the Glass Ceiling Society here in San Diego. And we've had several workshops. And just from what I'm hearing women need in terms of the support and the tools that they need to really understand how to communicate and how the relationships in their lives are affecting them, I created this tool and launched it this week. And I've really gotten amazing feedback about how powerful it is by simply asking them to not assess the kinds of relationships in their life, but assess what needs of theirs are being met. And by who and by how many people, and then assessing who are all the people and what does that sort of trend look like for them in terms of the people in their lives and what they're doing to them in terms of how they feel and how they're leading their life. And that is what I continually do. It's continually putting out content and continually listening to make sure that I'm agile and moving the way that I am meeting the needs of my target audience.
And that's the key. If we can provide a solution for them, that's where we need to be. Mm-hmm.
And it's hard. It's hard because they don't always know what the solution, you know, they don't always know what the pain point is, first off, you know, and in my instance, when I work with what I call tomorrow's matriarchs, these women want to be able to manage it all, and they don't want anybody to know that it's overwhelming. you know, so it's this secret pain point that they know is there, but they kind of want to be careful about how they let the world know when it's overwhelming. You know, how do you meet that need and how do you do it in a way that is comfortable for them? Because you could come out with an amazing solution, but if it is so big and so robust that it is something that isn't relatable or something that they don't feel they can accomplish. So outside of just creating a solution, it has to be bite-sized and it has to be a guide. It has to guide them in a way that eases them in to the solution, because it's not always an easy solution to take and run with.
Absolutely. So when you decided to create the actual business, what were the steps that you took? Because you said you were in one career and then you had to step back and be like, wow, and that's always the scary part when someone goes to create a new business. So what were your steps that in your process to get that done?
Well, when the biggest thing that I'm a proponent of is support and help. And I'm good at the things I'm good at, and I acknowledge the things that I either am new at or need help in. So the first thing I did is I reached out to everybody I know that started a business, and I interviewed them and I asked them, what did you do? How did you start? What were the steps? What were the advice that you give me? Where do I need to go? What do I need to launch? And really got some great insight on, you know, what are the things that you want to do first? Make sure you don't forget about these certain things, you know, in order. Some of it was logistical in terms of actually going in and registering to, you know, start a company, and what funds would I need, and how do I create a business plan, and, you know, how do I decide what I'm going to do? And so all of those logistically were really great. And then the other ones were, how do you stay motivated? You know, one of the hardest parts about starting a business is really setting your own priorities, because somebody up until that point had told you what the requirements of your job were. And you only wore that hat. You were the project manager, you were the director, you're whatever your role was. Now you are everything. And you have to decide, you know, generally a lot of people that start companies like myself are kind of that, you know, do-it-yourself entrepreneur, where I was really everybody. I built my own website and I, you know, created my own marketing and I did everything to start out, you know? And so I had to also decide, what am I going to do every day that's going to give me the most bang for my buck? And while I'm also figuring out, what on earth am I doing? What's my business going to be? And figuring out on a daily basis, literally every morning when I got up, I was setting my priorities. What are my goals for today? So I feel like I'm being productive and I feel like I'm getting things done. And then what am I doing? How is that getting me to my long-term goal of actually bringing on clients and having a successful business and meeting the needs of my target audience? And that is just how I started. And I literally do that process almost every couple of months, because I feel like my values and my mission stay the same, but how I execute them morphs according to what I'm learning, you know, over those months. So almost every few months, I feel like I'm still in that starting a new company mode, because I am moving with the ebb and flow of how people develop and how they change and move.
That's great advice, especially since as entrepreneurs, we do try and do it all. And it's like to stand up and ask for help, like you were saying, even with your matriarchs, like it's the pain point. You don't want to say, oh, I don't know that, because we're like, oh, we know everything. But it's, that's great to have a good support group around you.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing too, is you have to decide at what point, or what are the things that you don't want to do and don't like to do, or are never going to be good at. There are some things we're never going to be great at. And that's perfectly okay. And then figure out what is the threshold at which you can then push that out to somebody and delegate that out to somebody. You know, I mean, the very first person I brought on to work with me as a consultant was actually somebody who helps you create the, you know, what are you giving people as that sort of a teaser to get them to get to know you better. How do those email campaigns look? You know, how are you naming things? How's the naming convention for the things? Because I come from a writing family, so I want to be clever. And clever is generally not, you know, you have to read the article to understand how clever I'm really being, but they don't read the article because the title's so clever that they that they don't get it. So, you know, I realized that I was getting in my own way, and I hired somebody who I talk with on a weekly basis that helps make sure that I am, you know, not being so artistic in my writing and in my content that I'm losing people. And I realized right off the bat, that is a resource I'm willing to pay for and go out and have, because it's really going to help me in my business. So, you know, deciding what you really need need in order to be successful and how you might be getting in your own way, and then make sure you go out and spend the money to get that support. Because you really do, it's really hard to start your own business with absolutely no capital. It could be minimal. You know, I mean, I was able to start my whole business on $5,000 and really, you know, move it from there. And then once I'm making money, obviously you put more money in, but it's really hard to move because there's only so many hours in a day. You know, you're eventually going to need support and you need to figure out where your weakest points are so you can get the best support you can to help you be successful.
Great. Fantastic advice. How do you determine your ideal client and what's the best way that you reach out to them?
This has literally been the hardest thing. And I, every entrepreneur that I've talked to, I feel like has the same thing, because in my mind, everybody can benefit from what I'm doing. You know, but it's the saying, if you market to everybody, you're marketing to nobody. And it literally has taken me a year to really admit to myself, to hone in on not just, you know, professional women, and then not, you know, and actually go the step further and go the step further for me to finally admit, you know what, it actually was a conversation I had with somebody. They said, gosh, you know what, Dana, this is great, because so many people are in toxic relationships that, you know, you'd just be wonderful to be helping people to really get out and try something new. And I was compelled to say, no, that's not really who I resonate with. I said, who I resonate with are people who have pretty good relationships. You know, they may be with the person that is the right person for them, and they have kids that they love, and they have a family that they love, and they maybe have even a job that they like, or are doing something they're passionate about. But they realize that, you know, my favorite analogy is the garden. You can go out and you can make a beautiful garden, but if you leave it untended, the weeds will grow. And it requires continual cultivation in order to keep it the way it is, and then to help morph it in ways and see how you can make it even more beautiful. And the people that realize that is required in order to have thriving relationships and a really happy, fulfilled life, those are the people that are my target audience. And that's how I landed on the Tomorrow's Matriarchs, because it is hard to allow yourself to say, there is a niche that I need to get. There is a cult following of people who will hear those words and it will resonate so deeply with them that they can't help but want to jump on board with what I'm doing and then hopefully buy my services so that I can have a successful business, and that those services actually help them in exactly, you know, the way that my marketing says it will. And I actually think that is one of the hardest things about having a business, is really, really being honest and finding where your target audience is. Because like I said, you think that your solution is great for everybody, and it's hard to really allow yourself to narrow it down.
That's so true. That's one of the first thing I have my clients do, is who are you talking to, and making sure you're talking to them in the same language. But yeah, everyone says, well, I can help everybody. I'm like, well, but that doesn't help you.
Yeah. And one of the most powerful things that I've done, which was, you know, recommended to me by the woman that I work with, is to write a letter to my target audience. So I can only write a letter to one person. And who is that person? And what am I saying to them? And not a letter to sell my products, but a letter to talk about why what I'm doing is important for them. And it, you know, was like a letter to a pen pal sort of thing. And it was really helpful for me to do that, to narrow it down to that one person, and then take that letter and say, how am I applying what I've said here that will help make their life better to everything that I've done? And it was amazing. I did that exercise and I really ended up changing a lot of the things I was offering, a lot of the content that I was offering, because I was going, wow, you know, I'm not reaching the right people. And they're not going to think all my content is really valuable, because who I'm really trying to talk to needs these other 10 things. And the second I was able to really hone in on that target audience, that one ideal client, it's amazing how all of the content just started to flow. I could list out, you know, I listed out 20, 30 topics that I could write about or make content or include in coursework for my target audience once I really, really wrote that letter to that one person.
So important that you're right. That is such a key part to the whole process. So now that you know who your ideal client is and you're marketing to them mindfully, how are you turning them into leads? What is that transaction part that works? Because this is the part that I think everyone struggles with, because they think that they're selling something. But I always say, well, you're adding value and you're getting energy and money back for your unique ability. So how do you handle that quote unquote sales process, and how do you turn those potential clients into real customers?
Sure. And you know what? This is one of the things where, you know, a couple months into blogging and creating content, I realized I'd been creating a lot of stuff that did me absolutely no good. And the reason why is because I was creating content that I thought was interesting and that might be useful, but it didn't guide anybody anywhere. It was great information, but it didn't guide them. So the biggest tool that I've learned to use is that to make sure that the content that I'm offering actually guides them to want more content and also understand a need. So, you know, in terms of the relationship checklist challenge, when you take that, it not only is really useful and powerful because it helps you see how many people in your life are affecting you in certain ways, and it reveals some things about relationships you may not have noticed because you're looking at them in a different way. It also helps you to see, wow, I need to learn more about these things so that I can make these relationships better or learn how to move away from these certain relationships. Wow, I need that content. Oh, look, Dana is sending me that content. That's really great because it's part of a whole, you know, a whole slew of emails that they're all based on information for them to help move them forward from that checklist. And each of those emails also lets them know that there is, if they want to go really full-fledged, they can do my whole course and get it all in once and get all these videos. So it's not just email content. They're actually getting move at your own pace, full breadth of all the information they would need to be able to do everything they need to do to have relationships that thrive. And so each email has content in itself, and then it leads to that call to action. In addition to that, you know, one of the things that I've sort of been taught, which I believe more and more now that I'm in business, is that, you know, it takes that sort of like 5 to 15 encounters for people to really be ready to make a buying decision. And when you're dealing with a lot of email marketing, which is, you know, a lot of people opt into my email list, and that's how I get a lot of my leads, is they use something, a tool that I give them for free, it opts them in, and then I give them content that's valuable. And as it becomes more valuable, they trust more in my ability to give them what they need, then they start being ready to make a buying decision on other products that I have that have a cost to them. And so because of the amount of that people open emails, it ends up being, you know, somewhere between having to have a follow-up of like 25 to 30 emails before, you know, on average, before someone's actually going to make a buying decision. And that, you know, some people make it on the first one and some people make it, you know, on the last one. It kind of runs the gamut. But so I've created an actual automated, when they do the checklist challenge, there are 38 emails that follow over the following months that give them really amazing, powerful tips and tools that they can use. And it's all free. But it guides them to needing my services. It guides them to see the need, understand the pain, come, you know, break down the barriers they have to making those decisions to move forward. And so ultimately that helps me to get leads and get clients. So really it's, you can create content all day long and it can be useful content, but if it doesn't have a call to action purpose at the bottom or at the end of what you're doing, then it's not going to help you.
And I absolutely love that you know exactly how many emails it takes on average for them to buy, because that is something that nobody ever knows. And that's fantastic. And I want to just say to my listeners how important that is, because once you know it, you can automate it and you can walk away from it. And yes, and that's the key. And then you have passive income. But if you don't know that number, then you're just kind of like throwing stuff up against the wall to see what sticks.
Yeah. And you're allowing, with an automated sort of email campaign that's a really powerful content that has a path, is that you're bringing everybody down that same path, which is, in my opinion, really important, because it's hard to know what's working and where you should change things when you're just throwing things out against the wall and you just have a blog and you just have, you know, you're tweeting over here and you're putting out information and you're sending quotes over here. When you're able to say, here's, you know, what I'm offering you for free, this report, this checklist, whatever it is, and then here's subsequent content that really helps to build on it to be really powerful in itself. And that has a journey, so that whether somebody opts in to do that today or opts in to do that next month, they're brought on that same exact journey to that same exact endpoint. There becomes consistency in the product that you're offering. And that really helps you to build not only a base, but also, you know, of clients and know what's working. But I think it's really important too for you to be able to see that consistency and feel consistency, because as entrepreneurs, it feels like there is such a flux of the things going on in our lives. And it's really great to start creating products where everybody has the same user experience.
Great advice. So you mentioned earlier social media and that you're on several different platforms. Do you find that your customers are engaging with you more on one platform versus another, and what's working for you?
Sure. So I'm in LinkedIn a lot. I post on LinkedIn and I'm in LinkedIn groups. And what I found is my clients aren't coming from LinkedIn. My subject matter expert partners, you know, the people that are doing what I'm doing and have really great insight, those are the people that I'm connecting with that are giving me really great ideas, helping me look at what I'm doing and is it useful and powerful. And so I'm getting a lot of really amazing feedback and camaraderie from LinkedIn, but I'm not necessarily getting a lot of clients. I'm actually see that a lot of the women that I work with are in Facebook groups, are on Pinterest, and then Twitter and Instagram are sort of these two that I'm getting into, and I've actually created some good content, but I also realize that I'm not using them to their full capability. And as I'm learning to do that, I'm getting more out of them. But really, Facebook and Pinterest seem to be the areas that I'm getting the most bang for my buck.
That's fantastic. And I think Pinterest is one of the fastest growing social media platforms right now as it is, which is incredible.
Yeah. And one piece of advice too is I originally went in and I created this Pinterest sort of atmosphere that was all business. It was, you know, all business, no play. And what I realized over time is that I am what I'm selling. And one of the other things I would tell people too is that when, you know, before you go out and tell somebody to market for you, realize that you started a business because you are passionate about something. And that passion, just like you said at the beginning of this call, comes through when you talk to people, and that is a selling tool. So make sure that you are very wary of passing that off to somebody else to be the voice, you know, for you. And that relates to the way that you are in social media, because you have to let people know who you are. You have to be that quirky self. You have to let them know what you like, what you care about outside of just the tools that you offer. And when you show them a little bit of yourself, when you open up that vulnerability to let them in to how human you are and how they have some of the same quirks you do, or it's okay to have these quirks and still be a successful business owner, you get so many more clients that way, because people feel like they're actually interacting with somebody. And people make buying decisions based off of emotion a lot of time, based off of I connect with this person in a certain way, because there's a lot of what I talk about that other people talk about. That's not what brings me clients. It's that I am the right voice, the right person, the right time, the right place that catches that person at the, you know, the right time and right place in their lives. And we make an authentic connection that leads to a really fruitful relationship that helps me run a successful business.
When you share a little bit of your soul, they come to you, right? That's the
absolutely
key. So what has been your biggest challenge with marketing overall?
Well, so I think, you know, as I was saying with my content, I think it took me a months, I would say almost 6 months, to really, really hone in on how to create content that helps my business grow. Isn't just creating visibility for me, but actually leads people to want my services. And I wouldn't say wasting a lot of time, because I think everything that I've written has been fruitful for the people that view them and fruitful for me. But I think that I could have gotten where I wanted to get a lot quicker if I would have stopped for a moment and not just, you know, written content, but really made sure that it was driving it to the end goal of actually working with me.
Right. And it's like you said, you know, you hired someone, you knew you needed that help. And that's so important, because we lose track. You know, I always laugh and say I have a coach, too. He keeps me on track, because that second set of eyes is so important.
Yeah. Well, and I had this email list, and I would just send them my blog every week. And I would call her and I would say, I don't understand. You know, it's nothing's happening. Nobody's doing anything. And she's like, well, you're sending them a blog every week. I mean, what do you expect to happen? They're reading the blog. You know what I mean? And I was like, huh, I guess you're right. And she's like, well, you know, and I said, but I, like you mentioned before, and I'm like, well, I don't want to just send out an email of, hey, buy this product.
Right.
You know, and she's like, absolutely not. You know, and this was at the beginning of our conversation. She's like, here's what we're going to do throughout this process. you know, and I'm like, oh, I get it. It's a journey. It's not just stuff. It's a journey. Wow. Okay. That makes sense. But it's funny how the things that seem so blazingly simple and obvious are not at all simple or obvious when you've got a million things going on and you're trying to start a business and there's that feeling of that you have to succeed. How are you going to do it? Because there is an opportunity cost and there is a time allotment for a lot of people that are starting businesses in order to make it successful. So how do you create those goals and reach out to the right people so that you can meet those milestones in a way where you don't all of a sudden have such anxiety and stress of trying to make it successful that it keeps you from being successful?
Absolutely. So I know you have your first book coming up here that you're working on, A Better Way to Get Your Way. What are you learning as you go through that process? I know there's a lot of authors out there listening. What are you learning on that journey? And are you going to self-publish? Are you going to try and do it the traditional route? What's your plan there?
Sure. Well, I'm definitely going to try and go the traditional route. You know, that's kind of always what I've wanted to do. Like I said, I come from a family of people who are writers and illustrators. And the funniest thing about writing my book is I literally spent 3 months on my table of contents, which I would have never even fathomed. I literally sat down and I was like, oh, I'm just going to, you know, bust out this table of contents in a day. 3 months later, I had literally honed it in because just like I was saying with a journey, you have all these ideas and I sit down and I go, well, okay, this is useful and this is useful. And I want to add this in and put this in. And it didn't lead anybody anywhere. You know, it was just, and I don't want to make a book or write a book that is just where each chapter stands on its own. I want it to build. I want it to help change, their lives and the way they think and the way they relate to people and connect with people that helps them to get the things they want out of life while also being able to be a positive influence out into the world. And so, you know, it was amazing. I would send it out and like I was saying before, support is a huge thing for me. So I would send it out to people that had published books before, you know, people that would be my target audience and just mentors and colleagues that I respected their opinion on. And I, to be honest, I actually sent it out to a couple people who I knew weren't my target audience because I wanted to see how, you know, their reaction to it, which was very interesting. And yeah, so it took me 3 months to actually come up with a table of contents. And then as I was writing this book, because I started with my business of immediately starting to write a book, because it's always been, you know, a desire of mine. And what's interesting is I sort of got, you know, spent 3 months getting this table of contents. I've written, you know, about 4 or 5 chapters at the, you know, after that first 6 months. And then I kind of put it aside. And then when I had ramped things up with my consulting business, I actually moved out to California from the Midwest. And my business was mainly person-to-person consulting. And so when I moved out here to San Diego, all of a sudden, I didn't have that anymore. That business was gone. And I had had a child and I wanted to make more of a virtual business so I could, you know, reach more people, but also be able to have time to spend with my family because that was important. And so as I was doing that, I went back to my book one day and I went, oh my gosh, this is a course. I could create this as an online course. This is everything that you need. It just needs me to make the videos and do the, you know, work, you know, have the workshop kind of activities. And so I actually ended up creating the course. And now that I've finished the course, I'm going back to the book and just really taking everything in my course and translating it into the rest of the chapters. And it's becoming so much easier because I've really done all of the legwork in the course that I've done. And I've done the videos and I've done the, you know, all the tools that they need. And now just translating that into just a book-based sort of format has been just a really interesting journey. Like you start a book and you're like, oh, in 3 months I'll be done writing it. And it's so funny how it all morphs.
It's never as easy as it seems, is it?
No, well, and the more you get in your own mind and write, the more it changes, you know, what I thought it would be from each chapter to each chapter, from the beginning to the end of that chapter changes. And by the fifth iteration, half the time I go back and I'm like, wow, do I really even want to name it that? Like, what am I trying to get at? And do I love this new direction or have I veered off the path? And that's always a question I ask in any aspect of business, because I don't want to look at my end goal and and only do things that say, no, 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 it has to be this way because I decided 6 months ago it was going to be this way. I always want to be agile enough to ask myself, I've kind of gone in a new direction, and am I consciously making the decision that that new direction is the right direction, or am I consciously deciding that I need to veer back to this other path because that was the right one? And so assessing often, and that's where that mindfulness comes in, and being really honest with yourself and open with yourself to allow yourself to veer off the path when a new path is the right one to take, and or when you need to move yourself back in a different direction.
That's really fantastic advice. I'm working with a friend right now who's writing his book, it's funny to watch the process, and they veer one way and then like, oh, well, maybe that doesn't fit. Or maybe I'm like, just keep writing and it'll all come together.
Oh, absolutely. And the more I write too, the more I go, ooh, this one is a really great idea for a post, you know, over here, or a, you know, or something else as a lesson or a little course in itself, or, you know, so it's the more you write too, the more really great ideas you get. Cause you're, it's just like journaling. You're helping to verbalize what the need is, what you're trying to teach people, what message you're trying to get out there. And that is an amazing exercise in order to help clarify why you're doing what you're doing. And the more that you clarify that, the more wonderful ideas that spring from that.
Absolutely. So if you had to look back on your journey, knowing what you know now, and you were going to do it all over again, what would you do differently?
Oh, that is, you know, that's always a tough question, because part of me would say I wouldn't be here now in the position I'm in if I would have done it differently. You know, the path that I took with all of its diversions and, you know, and barriers and struggles led me to where I am. And if I were to change any of that, I may not be here. I may be in a different place. And then there's the other argument that, well, but that place may be even more successful than you are now. But, I'm really happy. And I think part of why I'm happy is because I know that I've gone through, you know, they say that the struggles are really what make you appreciate the successes. And so I'm in a place where I'm really happy with where my business is going and where my family is going and me as a person and how I, you know, who I've become. And so I'd have to say that I think everything that's happened to me was a requirement of me learning. And the only thing I would change is that I would have listened to myself more and maybe listened to others even more and reached out even more and allowed myself to be even more vulnerable than I was, to realize when I needed to stop something sooner and move on. I think one of the things is you get stuck on stuff in the beginning that you really want to, you know, accomplish, and now you feel invested in it. And so, you know, maybe the one thing I could change is to say that to realize more quickly, which I'm better at now, when I needed to stop with something because it wasn't getting the results I needed and moving on to something else.
Fantastic. So where do you see yourself going from here? What are your next steps in growing your business and building your platform?
Finishing my book is one, and continuing to put out coursework and really build up, you know, the 99-cent Kindles with information, create a really good support system and forum for tomorrow's matriarchs, where they are able to get all of the tools that they need to really feel like they can be that that glue that holds everything together without it being overwhelming, and have relationships that thrive. And then I always joke, my husband laughs because I'm a huge Martha Stewart fan, but my big goal is to eventually someday be on the Martha Stewart show. That's my one desire. Either that or be the voice of a Disney character. You know, I mean, those two seem like pretty awesome long-term goals.
I love it.
So you could possibly get with, you know, the more people know you, the more visibility you have, the more the random things in your life that are not necessarily relevant to the business that you have become possible. So, you know, but I mean, in all seriousness, what I really want is just to help as many people as possible, to help as many women, especially, as possible, to be able to feel like they don't have to. It's not necessarily compromise, because we all have to compromise. And that's an important part of all the relationships in our lives. We all have to make decisions and choices and set our priorities every day. But to feel like they can be a good mother, they can be a good wife, they can be a good leader, employee, employer, you know, sister, family member, mentor, mentee, trainer, trainee, all those things. They can be all of those things And they're not mutually exclusive. And you can be happy and fulfilled and not overwhelmed and be multiple things to multiple people in your life. And that that is possible and that they have the right tools and support to be able to have that.
Beautifully said.
Thank you.
Any last bit of advice to a listener who is either just starting their business, following their passion, or thinking about starting their business? What last little bit of golden nugget advice?
Sure. I think the big things are assess and assess often. Listen to everybody that, especially your target audience, about what their wants are and make sure you're meeting those needs or else you're not going to have a successful business. Reach out to people, ask for support, and realize when you need help and where you need help, and then reach out and get it or research it and understand more about it and learn about it. And lastly is have fun. To be part of you is going to resonate with your target audience and your clients. And the more you hide that, thinking that you have to be a certain way in order to have a successful business, the harder it is to be successful. So the more you let whatever little quirks you have out of the closet and out into the world so that people can really get to know you, the more you will get that cult following of people who, it doesn't even matter what you have or how much it costs or when you put it out, they want it because they follow you.
Fantastic. And speaking of following you, if my listeners wanted to find you, where would they find you?
Sure. So on Twitter, it's just Dana Malstaff. The same is on Instagram and on Pinterest. So Dana Malstaff. I'm on LinkedIn as well. And then perspectivecube.com is my business website. And then a better way to get your way.com is the actual course if they want to go and take a look at that. And I'm a huge proponent of videos because it's just an easier way to get to know people. So I have videos everywhere. And so you can also go on YouTube for Dana Malstaff or Perspective Cube. I have both channels to be able to just go get some really good free content to help them right away.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time. You've given us so much fantastic information, and thank you for taking the time to share all of that with us.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
You have been listening to The Mindful Marketing Show with me, your host, Kimberly Maska. You can get more information about this episode and all of my episodes at mindfulmarketingshow.com. There you'll find all of the show notes and links to the books and business resources we discussed. Again, that's mindfulmarketingshow.com. Until next time, be passionate, be inspired, and live your dream. Have a beautiful day.